morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And good morning. My name is Phil Vacchio.
Hello, Phil.
Good morning, Dave.
Phil and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combo of us, although it's been a while, Phil. I feel this is great.
Month, maybe? Yeah,
it might be.
It's been a bit.
Finally, we're back together, but if it's not you and I, it might be you and Jane Marie. It might be myself and Kim Hance. It might be special guests from LifePath or whoever else may join us.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah.
Just to keep track, right?
They were singing your praises, John Gabriel.
No.
They had a wonderful radio experience.
Oh, that's
our friends
great.
At LifePath.
I'm happy. That's a great people.
Wonderful.
And they do some very important work.
Yeah. As great as they are, their cause, even better.
Oh, absolutely right. Yeah, I agree.
And we're going to talk about another fantastic cause shortly.
All right.
It is a call-in show. You wouldn't believe this, Phil. There was not one caller last week.
You never get the luck with the callers, Dave.
No.
You never get the luck.
But if you do want to call us, it's 518-476-5900. And if you want to see us in one of our four offices, Albany, Saratoga Springs, up in Queensbury, down in Kingston, 518-465-7581. Philip Vacchio, how are you?
I am doing great, Dave.
How you been?
How are you? Everything's been great.
Walk us through.
Full season.
Tell us everything that's going on the last couple weeks.
Wow, what a request. Yeah.
No, we don't want to hear that. Well, what do you got going on this weekend? It's got to be chock full of stuff.
Oh, lots of going on. Between kids' sports, after this, I'm running up to Queensbury for the Alzheimer's Walk in Queensbury. It's over at the SUNY Adirondack or Adirondack Community College, whichever you want to call it.
Old ACC.
That starts at 10 a.m.
Oh, okay.
So I'm
going
to shoot up there right after here. Should be there in plenty of time.
You'll be okay.
And then tomorrow, I'm not going to this one, but tomorrow there's another walk, John.
Okay.
Over at Troy L. Bruno Stadium, down in Troy. Where's Troy from here?
Over in Troy.
That doesn't start till 12.
Yeah, from here, yeah.
That doesn't start till 12, which is unusual for the walk. So all you people that don't like to wake up early, you can make that one. I'll give you plenty of time.
Yeah, so we are in the walk season.
Joe Bruno Stadium, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're in the walk season. There was already one in Schenectady.
Mm-hmm. That was last weekend, I think.
And then we have today up in Queensbury. Right, and then tomorrow over in Troy.
Yep.
And weather looks
pretty decent. Oh, yeah.
Even 10 a.m. today might be 50.
Yeah, it'll be cloudy and a little chilly, but it's all right.
Well, you're walking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's all right. That's nice.
For this time of year,
that's...
So you'll be fine. Do you guys set up a big tent or something?
We have a whole tent table.
So stop by and say hello and...
Yeah.
Meet and greet, all the above.
Great.
Stop by our office after. It's like footsteps. I saw a post, Phil, that
the Alzheimer's Association came by to visit.
Oh, yeah, the picture?
That's awesome.
Yeah, they came to drop by one of their signs, and we got to visit them. They got to see our new office space, so that worked out well.
Did they like it?
Right.
They loved it.
Okay.
Well, they were using it, as you know, for some of their educational programs.
I do know that.
So, yeah.
Very cool.
Everyone wins.
Well, if you guys aren't doing anything later on today at 10 a.m., again, you could hang out with Phil and the rest of the crew up there Queensbury at ACC or SUNY Adirondack. And then tomorrow, other members of the crew, and it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. My goodness.
Yeah, tomorrow's nice.
Maybe, I don't want to say it's the last great
could be.
Day, but man.
You never know.
What's the high tomorrow?
70.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's October, 19th tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Midway,
70 degrees, I'll take that.
Yep.
Where do I sign? It's like we live in San Diego all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, San Diego. Beautiful place.
It is.
So, Phil, I don't know if you know this. Well, you do know this because we talked and we talk all the time. Mm. But I am spouseless this weekend.
I do. We have the Kubikian crew here this morning, actually.
Yeah. So my kids are outside. They're hopefully not burning this building down.
No, you're very, very polite, well-behaved kids. Yeah.
But I'm spouseless because my wife happens to be out of town. And it brought up this topic that I think we talk about all the time, but it just is nice to say it out loud. You know what? It's nice to have a plan, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you have a plan?
I don't have a plan, but my wife made a plan for me.
That's usually the way it works.
And she did a heck of a... She's actually calling from overseas right now,
all
actually.
Right. Okay.
But I can't pick it up. My wife, my wonderful, beautiful, smart wife, set up outfits.
Beautiful.
For every stage of the next couple days for me. Marked, this is what they wear to this. This is what this is what that is. And I was giving her a hard time about it because I'm like, come on, I've been a dad for 12 years. You don't think I could be a dad for 2 days, you know, that kind of thing. But I got to tell you, and I'll tell her when she gets back, it is really nice when there's a plan because I don't have to worry about anything, Phil. I just read and I do what it says.
Can you appropriately dress your children yourself?
Of course.
I don't know if I can.
You
appropriately meaning not like for the weather, like matching.
I can
match myself. I don't know, Dave. I mean,
I don't know if you can match yourself, Phil.
Sometimes.
Maybe we need to explore this.
On occasion.
Jen, if you want to call in and talk about this, we're happy.
Yeah.
518-476-5900 for you, Jen. Seriously, life is a lot easier when there's a plan.
Well, particularly between spouses, you know, everyone has their own roles in the relationship.
Yeah.
And we see this all the time with our clients, but... Even me, I have my roles. I'm pretty good at them, I think. I don't sway into Jen's roles. Sometimes she wants me to, but I don't.
The one swaying in our home is that I don't like spiders, so I'm not the spider killer out there.
All right,
I hate spiders.
I won't judge you too much.
Yeah, no, it's just they have too many legs.
Yeah, I don't like them either.
Too many legs.
Yeah.
I'll go get them. And my wife screams, and you know, there's a spider in the bathroom. And it's a little tiny thing, but yeah, I'll get him. But I don't enjoy it, though.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, it's like, get out of here.
I don't mind spiders. Oh. Yeah, you know.
Everyone's got their thing. Indiana Jones had, what, snakes?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
That's
so,
even worse.
Well, so how does that possibly relate to what we do?
Know.
Of course, life is better when you have a plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have an estate plan or an elder law plan, it doesn't make everything perfect, but it's so much easier than when you don't have a plan. You see it every single day, Phil, with your clients. And I would obviously say, I don't want to be Captain Obvious here, but I'm sure when a client comes in and their mom unfortunately needs a lot of help at home or needs skilled nursing, when that mom already did a trust or had a plan,
right. The
kid's job is easier. When, God forbid, we lose a loved one, if there's a, even if, I hate probate, but fine, if there's a goodwill, At least we have marching orders. We have a map as to where we need to go. We know there's a plan in place. We know who's going to get the personal property. We know how the money's going to get split.
Yeah, and sometimes it goes even, well, often it should go even further than that. You know, we're going to help with the legal side and making sure things are legally in effect and these people have authority to act and your things are protected and things pass easily. But it should go beyond that. And we talk all the time with our clients about this. Whatever you want to call it, a family love letter, instructional manual.
Family love letter.
Whatever you,
I like
you never use that one?
No.
Oh, okay.
I like it.
Well, it's a place where you express not only, you know, your important information, things like account numbers, usernames, passwords, who your accountant is, who your attorney is, all that information in one pretty little package, right?
What to do when I die.
What to do when a loved one dies, what to do when I die. It's really important because, like we said with you and Isabel and myself and Jen, we all have our roles. And if that stuff is not shared, even between spouses sometimes, you'll see the case when, you know, say, for example, the wife did all the finances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the wife passes away or the wife becomes incompetent and the husband's completely lost.
Yeah, you need to know what to do. Yeah.
It's so dependent on each other and they just don't think about it. They do their roles and they just live life that way and don't really share that important information. And then the other one's stuck. When it goes to the next level, children, that's even less common that they're sharing all that important information with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have a great way to organize that at the Herzog Law Firm.
We do.
We do.
We do. We're getting more of those books made, actually.
They're
quite popular.
It's a book.
Yeah, it is. It is a full book. And I don't know how many people still have 20 CDs out there. It's a little too thick of a book. But the idea is exactly what you're saying, Phil, is here's my account. It's not every account number in full, perhaps, you know, if it's in the wrong hands, we don't want, you know, anyone to and everyone to have your whole life story there. But here are the breadcrumbs. I do have an account at this bank.
Yeah.
I do have a CD at this institution. Hey, you may not know this. I do have a safety deposit box. Here is where it is. And so on.
All that. I had a client this past week, you know, certain situations that is even more important. They have a severely disabled child who's an adult now, but, you know, will always be at the intellectual level of a child, right? And always need constant care. And they were talking to me a lot about what happens when they pass away, and it's obviously a huge concern because they do everything for that child, and you know, to expect someone else. So they built a care team of all the people that they've talked to that would agree to participate. And you know, it's not in the legal documents themselves. That might muddy it. That we have certain things in the documents, like special needs trusts,
yeah,
on that side of things. But they put together like this, like an operating manual.
Yeah.
And I said to them when we first met, write what you do on a daily basis, who his doctors are, you know, where you want him to be, what you think his ideal life looks like if you're not there. Write that all down in your own words. I mean, I'll look at it if you want me to, but you know, it's an expression of your intent, what you do, what you want to happen if you're not there.
It's a really tough situation when you do have a child that is going to need that level of care, because you know, every parent says, well, what happens when we're not here to parent? And when there's some siblings, that's great, although it could be onerous, but it's good, you know, hold money in trust.
Sure.
Our son or daughter's living with us still. Well, where are they going to be living? Can they live in that house still? Are they going to be in some congregate living situation?
Right.
A lot of unknowns. That's you know, not just having a plan as to who gets what. That's you know, the highest level of planning, because it's not just planning for assets to move or planning for my future long-term care expenses. It's planning for my kids' future expenses, and then what?
Yeah, the plan. And the care and all the above. So it gets quite difficult.
But if you know, you don't have any plan in place, and you do have long-term care needs one day, it's actually quite easy to tell you what to do. You're just not going to love the news, because we're not going to tell you that your assets are protected. If you don't have that Medicaid trust out there, if we didn't get lucky with some of the facts, the story, we know how it's going to be. We're gonna spend down some money. We're going to make lemonade out of lemons and get you qualified for the, you know, the care that you need as quickly as possible. But having the trust in place with these look-back periods, in addition to that roadmap for people, you know, who gets what when I die, who's taking care of my son when I die, along the way, making sure that we're protecting assets becomes paramount in most people's plans.
Yeah, in a lot of those situations, it's just multiple versions of best case scenario, or you can call it multiple versions of worst case scenario. And we can always make that lemonade out of lemons, but if you do that advanced planning, it's going to be tastier lemonade, right?
Makes sense. I like that.
That's a good analogy.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Some people don't like lemonade, though, Phil.
That's true.
And so, you know.
Half and half, then.
John.
Whatever you like.
Shall we? We shall. We'll be right back.
Break? Yeah. Right, you got, you know, early.
I'm going to do it.
Oh, all right. Let's do it.
We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Welcome back. I'm Phil Vacchio.
Good morning. I'm Dave Kabikin.
And before the break, Dave and I were talking about planning and how, you know, Dave's getting by without his wife around, but she left an adequate plan for him. So
yeah, I think getting by is the appropriate terminology. I'm certainly not thriving right now.
Yeah,
but everything's getting done.
I asked the kids how the house looked, you know, when they were walking in. They said,
they didn't say that. I paid them before to say only smiles and so on.
But so in talking about planning and advanced planning, and some people do, some people don't, right? In some situations, we get to a point where someone comes to us and they have a high level of need, and that person, in my particular case, and I'm going to use as an example here, this person didn't really do any advanced planning. It's one of those sad cases where the person got a unexpected diagnosis, in this case, ALS, And he was very active before then, and, you know, an athlete, all the above. So one of those people that, you know, wouldn't necessarily think about getting sick. It just
it's too early. It
wasn't in his plan, right? Mm. So in this case, he did get progressively worse very quickly, and he's been privately paying for care for many years just because he didn't know there was other options. So happened to see me at some kind of presentation and, you know, come to learn that, hey, there's ways we can preserve some of those assets, make them last longer, and get care paid for. But I think we have a caller.
Yeah, Phil, I have an announcement to make for the first time in about 7 months.
Dave's face is giddy right now.
And it's not just anybody. It's Debbie from Colony. Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
Good. Good morning. I have a question about Medicaid. My mother-in-law passed away about 7 months ago, and we haven't received anything that says that it's okay to go and distribute what little money she had left. Is that something that they'll do so that we know that they're not going to take back any money?
So let me ask you a question, Debbie. You mentioned Medicaid. Your mom was on Medicaid?
My mother-in-law.
My mother-in-law was on Medicaid. And when we say Medicaid, you're not talking health. You're talking about long-term care, right? So she was getting some long-term care help.
Yes.
Okay. And the money that she's got, that you're talking about distributing, is it money that are in accounts where she had beneficiaries on them or co-owners? Was anyone else on those accounts that you're talking about?
Yes, my husband and I are co-owners.
Okay. So the good news is, I mean, you're asking, are they going to give the go-ahead for you to distribute? They don't do that. What they do sometimes, or actually most of the time with when they're already paying, is they'll send a letter from a third party saying that they're trying to recover money from your mother-in-law's estate. And that letter will say, you know, based on the services that she received, you know, the lien's going to be blah, 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 you know, $10,000, whatever it's going to be. And that lien only applies to your mother-in-law's estate. And we got to use that word estate. If I died right now, everything goes to my wife, snap of a finger, because of the way things are titled. And it sounds like your mother-in-law's assets go to you and your husband because you're, for example, on the bank account with her. So I'd say that there may be a letter coming down the road. I'm surprised you haven't gotten one yet. But that letter likely won't apply to you guys because there likely isn't an estate, right? There's likely no assets where we need to take her will through court to get to.
Right. There are none.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. That's good news.
So we tell people all the time, Debbie, and thanks so much for your call. You literally made my day. It's been way too long, and you need to call now next week as well, okay?
You're on the hook now, Debbie.
But thanks so much for the call. I'm gonna keep talking about this with Phil for a moment, but we really appreciate you joining us. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Phil, when you tell people, you know, hey, it's avoiding probate's a big deal.
It is.
It's not just making life easier in that plan for people. It's also making sure creditors, like you know who, can't come back and take all this money.
Yeah, that's a great example. And, you know, likely if she was on Medicaid, there wasn't a huge abundance of assets left because, you know, you have to get below certain limits.
Yeah.
But, well, there could be, you know, if there was a trust and whatnot, but things like bank accounts that have joint owners or beneficiaries, luckily, will pass automatically and avoid any kind of, you know, Medicaid reimbursement claim, which is nice.
Trusts avoid probate, so great way to avoid those creditors. You know, we're not trying to not pay people that are owed money, but we're just the way the system works. If we qualified for Medicaid during our life, we want to make sure that qualification doesn't bite us later on.
Well, we will get cases every now and again when people are on Medicaid and they think everything is great and they pass away and they get that letter. And, you know, as we know, and some of our listeners may know, a house, a primary residence, is an exempt asset. Right. So if I don't get a lawyer and I apply for Medicaid because mom or dad has no money, they're below the limit, but they have this house, they're going to approve the Medicaid application, right? And they might think that's fantastic. And I've had cases where they come back and they say, all right, well, we need to go to probate. We're going to sell the house. And they get a letter for a $200,000 Medicaid claim.
I was waiting for the but. They may say your house is exempt, but they'll put a lien on that puppy.
Yeah, it's exempt for eligibility. Doesn't mean that it's not going to, you know, come back after it later. And that's where a trust comes into play where we could potentially avoid that as well.
Yeah, and in Debbie's situation here, it could be as simple as making sure there's co-owners or beneficiaries,
yep.
POD, POD, whatever it might be on accounts.
And even that sometimes is missed. It sounds like Debbie's mom did a good job there, or Debbie helped, but that doesn't always happen. So that's great.
So Phil, you were saying you have a community Medicaid gentleman, fit as a fiddle, never thought about needing this kind of care, but has been private paying.
Yeah, so he's one of those cases where it came unexpectedly, privately paid, found a great aid to help him out, but we're getting to the point where things are running dangerously low. And, you know, he hasn't given too much thought ahead of time about what's going to happen then, but now he has. Now he's forced to. So luckily, her made a presentation, so we're going to be doing a community Medicaid application for him, and this is a scenario where he has an aid that he already loves. You know, she's been in his life for a long time, would hate to lose her, had a conversation with her, and she's willing to get paid by Medicaid. And there's a program through Medicaid where you can choose your aid. You can pick your, you don't have to go through a company necessarily. You can pick your own aid, whether it's a family member or a friend or just the private aid you had previously that you've grown attached to. So he's going to get to keep her there, and we're going to have Medicaid start to pay her instead of him using the money, but that's going to run out eventually anyway.
So, Phil, you're getting into this world now where people are going to be listening at home or in the car, and they're going to say, yeah, but that's not how it works, because my neighbor, it didn't work like that for them.
You always get
that. There's going to be an agency or this or that. You're talking about so Community Medicaid is this huge program. The whole idea of it is care outside of a nursing home. It might be an apartment in a house. It could be whatever.
Right.
And within that big umbrella, there's different ways to use the amount of hours that someone may qualify for. So this gentleman is going to get X amount of hours based on his needs. There's a process to evaluate, and then he gets to decide how those hours are going to be used. It could be a day program for someone that, because his wife needs to go to work every day and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you were talking about that last week with the LifePath people, right? The day program, like they offer that. Some other institutions offer that. That's a great solution for some people.
You're talking about something called Consumer Direct, where he, the consumer, is directing who will be the caregivers.
He's the employer. She's the employee, right? We're not going through a separate agency. That's the kind of the idea here.
And the caregiver in that could be just about anyone. It can't be a spouse. It can't be a parent. But basically anyone else.
Yeah, it can be a child. That happens sometimes. We've done those. It can be family, friend, neighbor. Like I said, private aid that you've grown attached to. And the community Medicaid is an interesting world to work in. Different than nursing home Medicaid. Nursing home Medicaids, while they can be difficult, they're rather clear cut. Because the person's receiving care in a place. Everything, their needs are met in that facility. We just want to protect as much as possible and get them approved. Pretty
say all their needs are supposedly met.
Supposedly,
in the facility.
As much as
some
possible.
People, some facilities.
Well, you still got to be an advocate
for sure.
But community Medicaid is a whole other ballgame because there's so many versions of it. And we find ourselves very often having meetings among each other and involving Kim and our other staff to try to get creative. You know, what's the best version of help for this particular person? Because it's not as easy as just run an institution and then just get that institution paid for.
Yeah.
So you were saying different, the adult daycare programs, aids coming into the home. Sometimes it's private pay aids on the side because Medicaid doesn't approve enough hours. There's different versions of what it looks like for every single person.
So this particular caregiver, though, is open to getting some of her money or his money through the Medicaid program.
Yeah.
Are they going to get all the money? Was he private paying her or him? Is it him or her? I wasn't.
The client is he.
No, but the caregiver.
Oh, her.
Her. It's her. Has she been getting paid more than what Medicaid pays?
Surprisingly, no, and not in this case.
Really?
Yeah, which is a little unusual. But
so this is just a nice, clean transition to her getting money from him directly. Now she'll get paid the same or similar amounts.
Yeah.
They've worked it out, and it'll be instead through, I mean, it's not as simple as you could imagine a lot of fraud could take place. Oh, yeah, no, so-and-so has been taking care of me. Meanwhile, they're not.
There's plenty of formalities
to
make this happen, on our side. We're not going to let the client worry about that. We're going to just tell them this is how it works. We'll take care of the formalities, get the correct paperwork in place. He'll have the ability to privately pay her for additional hours from the funds.
Yeah.
In this particular case, there'll be a pooled income trust. He makes too much income to just do a straight application. So
you'll protect all his income as well?
We'll protect the income as well through that pooled income trust. It's going to work out really well. And you know, for him, it was a godsend because he didn't even realize that this program existed.
So how did he come into the Herzog universe? How did the consults come to be?
So interesting. So this one, I went and gave a in-person kind of presentation at the ALS Center in Albany. Mm. And he is a person
great
who goes
place,
there for
by the
resources.
Way. Yeah. Unbelievable place.
Unbelievable place. So he had heard me there and reached out after because he liked what he heard because he never had heard of such a program, which ended up working out really well. So education on our part. That's why we do what we do, Dave, and we're out there educating because you never know who, many people don't know what their options are.
I'm sure he's very thankful that he'll continue to be able to live where he's living and money will be a less of a concern.
Yeah.
My brain always goes to, man, I wish you met him 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Even if the care was a lot less then, that's not the point. It sounds like he's really been spending some money over the years.
There would have been a lot more available to, use for whatever purpose he wanted in the future if we had done this earlier, but so be it. It didn't happen that way. At least there's a plan now, but yeah. Again, you know, making lemonade
and
out of lemons.
And asset-wise, was he okay, or do you need to do any planning asset-wise?
We have to move some stuff around. We do. Okay. You know, it's not that he's so low that there's under the Medicaid limit, but it's getting, you know, it would be very quickly, put it that way, with what he's paying out if we didn't do it soon. So we're going to be able to shelter some and, you know, have it available if we need it. And yeah.
I love it. Well, it reiterates the whole plan idea. If you're leaving your husband with your kids alone, it's good to plan out all the outfits just in case your husband forgets how to dress kids. You never know.
Do we have post-it notes in the house? Or what's the system?
I don't need to comment on that. And we do. It's good to have a plan to make sure you're avoiding probate, to make sure your money's going to the right people, to protect your money if that's what you want. And then even when you already have a trust or you decided you don't need a trust, that's great. When you start to need care, when you're like this gentleman, it's also good to have a care plan in place to take care of your needs. And also, guess what? If he's got something, you know, set up like that, if God forbid something happened to his caregiver, she says, hey, you know, my own family needs some help. I need to move out of town. I'm sorry, I can't help you anymore. He's going to have currency. He's going to have hours that have been approved through Medicaid that he can now use to lure other people to be his caregiver because he knows immediately Medicaid can be a payer.
Yeah, and we can transition the care, the pay to someone else. You know, we have the wonderful Kim Hance on staff. We're able to get her involved. She has many connections in the community to get those aides in place because sometimes that's a difficult part of the process, right? And hand-holding through that as well. You know, luckily here this gentleman has someone already, so it makes that part of it a little easier. Because sometimes there's a gap in care while we're trying to find someone that works appropriately or find someone that fits well with the person who needs the care. That's a struggle sometimes. Not here, luckily. And like you said, everyone's goals can be different too. It's not always, we talk so much about protecting assets for heirs and whatnot. And that's important to many, many people. But sometimes people don't have heirs they either need to or want to protect assets for. And it's more of, I want to make sure I have the appropriate amount of care and I can age where I want to and not get stuck in a facility where I have no desire to be.
Amen.
All important.
So we got these walks. If you want to see Phil later on today, 10 a.m.
Yeah, stop by
SUNY Adirondack.
Please.
I think Kim will be there as well.
I believe Kim, Maddie, who that's my assistant, who's fantastic. Come meet Maddie. I don't know if Terry's going. We'll see.
Terry, are you going there? Let us know. Have a good weekend, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.